I hate leafy, figless Christians. In quotes. As Paul said, gospel, though it's really not a gospel, we've got to put it in quotes. I hate leafy, figless Christians. I really hate them. Of which some are you. Matthew 21. Jesus is entering Jerusalem. A few days prior to his crucifixion. Great multitudes spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and drawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Verse 18, next day. That was Sunday. Now this is Monday. I'm not too sure that it's that accurate on the calendar, but abstractly and generically speaking, the Hosannas were the Sunday performance. Hooping and hollering for Jesus. Now in the morning, Monday, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it. And he found nothing thereon, but leaves only. Now, this is a Jesus I haven't heard preached on too much, one that talks to trees. I don't know what it feels like to talk to trees. And Jesus said unto it, the tree, let no fruit grow on thee hence. Forward forever. I wonder if the tree cared. Think about it. Think that tree said, oh, I've done it now. And presently, or more literally, immediately, the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, wow, what a short life that was. How soon is the fig tree withered away? Let's read it in Mark's account, 11th chapter. Seventh verse, Jesus is entering the city again. They brought the colt to Jesus that he had sent for, cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Greatest teaching I've ever heard. Waited all my life to hear this. My life's been changed by exposure to your teaching. Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. 12th verse, next day, Monday. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree, added something Matthew didn't say, afar off. It was standing out in the crowd. Seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. And Mark adds something else that Matthew didn't say. For the time of figs was not yet. It's like cherry blossoms are blooming early in Washington. Now they got to worry about a freeze killing them. Nature pulls those freaky stunts ever so often. It wasn't fig time. But from afar off, he saw this fig tree's leaves, many of them. It stood out from the other trees, prominent, full of leaves. He said, well, figs. He began to salivate for it. And he comes to the tree, knowing it was, what a surprise I'm going to get, because not time for figs yet. There are no figs. Jesus answered and said unto it, and he carried on a full conversation with this tree. Jesus answered and said unto it, what was he answering? The leaves. The leaves had talked to him. And he answers the leaves when he found no figs. Did no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever? I wonder what my congregation would do on Easter Sunday. The news media would do if when they arrived, they found me talking to the tree on the sidewalk in front of the cathedral. Weird. No man shall eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. His disciples heard it. He's going now, he's talking to it. Talking to the tree. Yeah, I know. Why? What's he saying? He's telling the tree nobody's going to eat fruit from it forever. And they came to Jerusalem. And this tree was withered and gone. Now, what has this got to do with Sunday morning, March, what is it? Huh? 18th, 1990. You will never understand this passage of Scripture if you don't have some understanding of the nature of fig trees. Jesus was delivering his message in a land that grew up with figs and olive trees. There were lots of trees that had leaves that Jesus didn't curse, and they had no fruit or nuts. And he never cursed them. There were a lot of trees at that time of year, before the fig season, that had neither leaves nor fruit. And he didn't curse them. But a fig tree stood for something. It had its own symbolic language. It was more than symbolic, meaningful language. You know anything about a fig tree knows that the fruit comes before the leaves. A little nodule forms on the end of the twig. And by the time leaves come, the fig is formed. Therefore, when you see a fig tree with leaves, since figs come before the leaves, you have every right to expect the leaves to be a signal saying, come and eat. My figs are here early. And Jesus saw it afar off, leaves waving, right to expect figs. Goes to the tree, no figs. Tree made a mockery of Son of God. Everybody looking on would say, look at him. He came here expecting figs. And the tree fooled him. I mean, who wants to follow a God that a tree can fool? Now, I've been fooled by trees considerably of late, but I'm not God. You try fooling God, there's an accounting. And the tree didn't get away with it. Now, this is both a parable and a miracle. The placement in Scripture is very important because it comes after the hosannas on Palm Sunday. Now, I couldn't wait to preach this on Palm Sunday because I don't pay attention to the religious calendar anyway. Because it's wrong. Easter is an artificial heathen day that in no way relates to the Passover day that was on God's calendar. So I'm going to preach this Sunday today, even though it's Palm Sunday related. He knew that the plaudits and the hosannas and the praises and the many words of allegiance declared on Palm Sunday were just so many leaves without fruit. Because a few days later, those same lips that had cried out the hosannas would say, give us Barabbas and crucify him. Which is a long way of saying God's had plenty of experience with leaves without fruit, opinion without faith. Form without substance. Words without action. Regrets without repentance. allegiance. Proclaimed without loyalty attached. So what this message addresses is universal to every age, including today. Likewise, his attitude is universal to every age, including today. This is one of the harsher performances of Christ. He hates hypocrisy. He hates the mask without the substance. He hates the house with no foundation. He hates the appearance without the reality. He hates many words, no fruit. And cursed it. He had every right to expect figs. He, that Hebrews 1 says, spoke and the worlds were formed out of nothing. He, the creator of the fig tree. He, whose word holds the universe together. Well, the same book Hebrews says all things consist. Hang together. Maintain. And subsist by His Word. Including that fig tree. He had a right to not be insulted with the many words of leaves. Waving in the wind. Not find fruit that was supposed to precede the leaves. And his attitude hasn't changed. He hates leafy, figless trees. In a later encounter with it, one of the disciples declares it withered from the roots up. He takes the life at its source and removes it. Now, it had life. More prone to produce leaves, though, than fruit. He withered it from the root up. Which I repeat is a long way of saying as trees like this are not new to Jesus. His attitude hasn't changed. He hates them. He's going to take the life away. This ministry has run a flag up proclaiming the message of the Reformation, the message of Paul, the message of Jesus. That we frustrate not the grace of God, for if righteousness came by our works, then Christ is dead in vain. That there was a wall of petition between us and God. And there was nothing in that wall that kept man from will worship. Nothing in that wall that kept man from finding and deducing from the revelation to a chosen people of God's standard of righteousness. A list of laws to conform to through will worship and habitual imitation of what was claimed to be godliness as an approximation of what God had revealed of His standards. If you can't breach the wall, and that won't save you, and you may outperform others, and horizontally may look better than your fellows, but the only way that salvation came was when God broke the barrier between us and sin, that He then, without contradiction to Himself, might place His life in us. We're born again, a new creation in Christ Jesus,
Christ is formed in your heart by faith. He enters us with His life, and that life is going to bring forth a reproduction of His nature, which is the fruit of the Spirit.
That gift is given to those that faith. But like every other message, if the message being preached was a guarantee of results, then the Reformation would have finished the need of God doing any further work. You can hear this message and still become leafy trees with no fruit. You see, the calling and election of God makes God the initiator of faith. The fig tree didn't choose to be a fig tree. God created the fig tree, and the fig tree couldn't be a pine tree. It's elemental. Elementary. The once chosen and conceived in the mind of God as a fig tree, it had better put figs forth and leaves without figs and don't work. Now let's play at the fairness syndrome a bit. I already mentioned there were a lot of trees in the neighborhood of Jerusalem that had leaves and no fruit. But their leaves were not supposed to be a testimony. There was no signal sent by their leaves springing forth. Hey, my leaves testify to fruit. Jesus knew that. So He didn't curse those trees. He wasn't so stupid He'd go to those trees to eat. He had determined by His choice where His food would come from. Fig trees. Not oak trees. Well, it ain't fair. That oak over there's got leaves on it. And that evergreen pine tree never ceases to have leaves. Why can't you be thankful for my leaves when they come forth? I mean, they don't have to work to produce their leaves. That evergreen over there, it's always there. It takes a little effort to burst forth. My leaves. Why are you cursing me instead of that pine tree? I give just as much shade as it does. I ain't looking for shade. You ain't the chooser of what I come on the scene to find. Well, damn it, why didn't you take a walk in Galilee on this particular Sunday? Why does this particular encounter have to wither me so? They don't tell me what the fig tree says, but there's a conversation going on. That's clear from the passage. So I can use my imagination. I've been called a lot of things. Maybe after today, first time I'll be called a tree. You can title this message, The Talking Tree. I born you. Why did you have to pass here today? Well, the world itself and Satan created the opportunity for Jesus to make a point. He died for us
You want to translate it from trees to us. You are not your own. You're bought with a price. The whole world is listening to messages today on Sunday that will tell everyone why that they should accept God, because He's now being packaged in a way that your stupid, deranged, mental midget, idiot brain can say, well, I like this kind of God.
Like a stupid
ant on a rail saying, I don't like the sound of that engine. It run like a Rolls Royce. I'd move out of the way. But I just don't like that thing or the looks of it. Push. I sure made my point, didn't I? Preachers across this land have succumbed to that popularity approach to God, as though we must find the God that passes muster with us. Well, that's exactly why God killed the Israelites. He said, like a metallurgist, they put him on trial. Too stupid to understand the reverse was happening. They were on trial. Well, I'll choose the time of my encounter with God. When, number one, He passed muster with me, and number two, He can make me look good. Those fools, with their prattle on Palm Sunday, had created the opportunity for Jesus to perform a miracle, exposing in parable form what they were doing. Words without deeds, form without substance. And the tree happened to be in the way and useful, and in that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him that died for them and rose again. I can apply it to people, this congregation or others. Why are we having to make this testimony? Why is it that we're singled out? Every other church is left downtown. Every other ministry can raise its money by appealing to human selfishness. Why do we have to be the testimonial in the eyes of the world of self-sacrificing, grab a hold of eternity, do it God's way? Because you're there. The steps of a good man are ordered to the Lord. And God, whether you know it or not, occasionally runs His army like our armies are run. We got a commando raid to make, and I need 10 volunteers. You and you and you and you and you. Yes, sir. Why can't I go to Kentucky? Sit on the horse in the bluegrass fields and teach the things of God in peace. Because God needs volunteers. And He's chosen me and you and you and you. He made the fig tree and leaves meant figs. Made the first tree and leaves didn't mean figs. Made the oak tree and leaves didn't mean figs. There are people that have grown up in traditions that make void the Word of God. They know the form, they don't know the substance, they take their babies to be sprinkled, they don't have a prayer of an idea why. They certainly do not know. There isn't an ounce of Scripture to back it up. They take the communion with no sense of discerning in its meaning, paying more attention to the words that are supposed to have meaning that's traced from the oracles of heathenism rather than the Word of God. They light the candles, never knowing they're following more in the Babylonians' footsteps than in the disciples of Christ. They're full of leaves. Their nature is that of a tree that doesn't bear figs, and God isn't cursing them. He will transform them, recreate them into fig trees. But you that have been so recreated, you have this meaning. You better have fruit from your leaf wave. Even worse, their trees had neither leaves nor fruit. Just barren, scraggly. Winter cold limbs, trunk, branches, no leaves or fruit. He didn't curse them. Cold and dead. For them to be a fig tree, they'd have to be recreated. So often in God's Word, He points to the fig tree and the olive tree as the symbols of His miraculous work. As when writing to the Romans, Paul says, "You, the Gentile, that are grafted on, a wild olive tree, grafted on to the branch or trunk of Abraham." If God could graft the wild olive tree on, take heed, don't get presumptuous. He can certainly chop you off and regraft the native stock easier than he grafted the wild olive tree. So often, the fig tree and the olive are symbols. Of the recreated. New life in Christ. Miraculous work of God. Testimonial to His creative power and ability. He was not on the case of the barren tree with neither leaves nor fruit that was made that way and needed a new creation to change. He was not on the case of the oak tree with leaves and no fruit that was created that way and needed a miracle to change. He was on the case of the fig tree created to bear fruit before leaves even symbolized and testified to the presence of that fig. You're born again. You claim the promise of God's grace, of forgiveness, but also life because of faith. That means He expects from you, where the leaves are seen, fruit to be there. Now you know why your pastor is getting tired of words without fruit. We ran a call this past week when the deadness of response on telephone brought me to a point I would either rage at the camera like Nehemiah, smiting faces and plucking beards, or simply leave. For a half hour, which we testified to in a crawl, every phone was busy, jammed, and $10. I mean, every single voice in this entire network, from coast to coast, border to border, with words abundant, could only bring forth one statement of faith at a time of life and death for this ministry. as Jesus was walking from this spot into Calvary. Only one $10 committed. Now think about it. Crisis time, life and death, phones ringing off the hook. In that 30 minutes, hundreds, maybe thousands, called. And one person, $10. I frankly get tired of being disbelieved by my congregation. You hear it, but it doesn't register. Are you going to tell me that at least 50% of those thousands who called in that crisis moment of life and death for the ministry that we mutually have been called to? Are you going to try to tell me that 50% of those were unable? At least 50%, let me say it positively, could have given a dollar. Could have called and said, I've given and I've made my commitments. I'm not one of those that failed to act on Sunday or earlier this week. But at this time, I'd rather die than see Christ's ministry die. And though I can only give a dollar, I'm going to at least let the devil know we're going out gnawing on him. Right. Rote, leaf-waving performers. Faith on the line. What's faith? Action. It was Friday night. Couldn't find $1 between Friday night and Sunday. Maybe I got a lot of pride in my congregation, like those who went to the agape feast in the New Testament. If they couldn't show off their abundance, they wouldn't show up. You may say, are you beating on me? Right. I'm trying to beat some sense. Verbally dent it into my congregation after 14 years how to fight the fight of faith. The world has made mockery of Christ. The religious world has made him a fool. I told you some weeks ago as we started our march downtown, if you ever thought we had problems, forget it. You've never known the problems that we would encounter of Satan's opposition when we started this trek. I'm tired of leaves waving at me with no substance. I never ask anybody to give everything. I've said repeatedly, we're after faith, not food. Jesus wasn't really after figs. He put a fish in a coin in a fish's mouth. And if it was already there, he certainly had x-ray eyes to find the particular fish that had it. You want to tell me he couldn't materialize a fig in his palm? He multiplied the loaves. He could pick up a stone, turn it to bread, or turn it to a fig. Fig tree had an opportunity. And by parabolic teaching, we have an opportunity. God has chosen us at this particular time to make a statement. You do not surely think your pastor is so foolish that when we do not need 300,000, in actual dollars each week, and we are within 30,000 or 27, which happened to be the figure, or 19 or 4 or 3 or 2, that I would put this ministry at risk of ceasing to be.
Because we wanted $27 or $30 or $4 or $3 or $2,000. When we get that close, we'll make it, particularly with the last 2 months' record. We will make it if it didn't come in.
That's not the issue. Any more than food was the issue when Jesus asked Philip, "Where should we buy bread?" Or any more than food is the issue when Jesus approached this tree. We have a statement to make. A statement of faith by which Christ is formed in your heart, without which you are going to wither and die eternally. If you don't let faith become your norm,
faithless, it's stupid. I told you just a few weeks ago how a staff member was on the phone, said, "I've been answering this phone, hearing faith talk for an hour and a half. And not $1 pledge." And I finally decided, the staff member said, "I can give $10. Saturday gives time for a yard sale or a pawn shop." When he said it, I think you were on the other end of the line, Gil. Gil said, "Well, I can give $10 too."
What kind of zombie state does Satan get some of you in? It's just like he reaches down with his evil, demonic, claw-like fingers and goes inside your brain and takes it out, and you say, "Whoa."
I see it happen to my staff members. If I didn't know the power of the devil and the ability to recognize it, I'd have fired some of them years ago. But just certain times, you can see it. They either give place to the devil through something stupid, some asteroid covering stunt, some little shaded truth to make themselves look better, and the door cracks, and there's the devil. And I just see the brain go, "Blah, blah, 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 blah. Well, why did you do this? Blah, 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 blah." Leave. No faith. I never leave that chair until what's coming to me in the messages is absolute and total absence of faith and habituated leave waver. You've watched me long enough to know that. I instantly recognize the difference between a warrior fighting the battle of faith and one going, "No difference than drinking at a bar." Faith online, faith online, faith online, faith online, faith online, faith online. 65 cents a call, going to hit everyone, saying nothing of any substance. Leave. Faith online, faith online, faith online, faith online. Well, if you don't appreciate the call, I won't call anymore. I want your brain connected to you what your mouth is saying. Faith is effort. How'd you like me to sit down here every Sunday and every night? Faith online, faith online, faith online, faith online, faith online. Message has been on faith. I want something besides words. Well, you're not very appreciative of what we do, are you? More so, I don't want you withered and cursed, because you cannot escape the fact you are in the crosshairs of God's telescope
and you will make the statement right or die.
Sorry. No, but I've decided something. I'd rather be an oak tree in a glass cathedral. Or maybe a pine tree down in Louisiana.
Or a hardwood tree on a denominational presbytery board. You have been chosen, along with me, in God's fig orchard for this day. If I'd have known that, I'd have never turned in. I'll make you a bet. I don't know everything that went through that fig tree's brain. But I'll bet you that fig tree was saying, that damn seed could have fallen on the other side of town. But it was too late. He was growing in the way Jesus was going. And when that crosshair zeroes in, leaves don't work anymore. Leaves come after the fruit. Now this is in the giving series. You see, I'm not finished with it. Now, superimposed by a tracer, this fig tree over the word grace as substance in 2 Corinthians 8. Oh, I know all the other fruit of the Spirit. Who has to talk to anybody about joy? Now, if you got joy, that's wonderful. Self-justifying. But Paul, after watching the Christians throughout his ministry and dealing with the most troublesome church, long on words and spiritual pride, but short on the essential quality that proved the genuineness of God's Spirit in them, namely, when God's grace as life substance dwells in you and I, it makes a giver out of us. You imagine that 30 minutes the other night with the Macedonians on the line, who only had to hear of a need. And the Greek has it, they begged in this same chapter, 2 Corinthians 8, they begged with much begging that they might participate. I preached on this over and over. I want it set in the context of this fig tree. If the ministry to which Paul was called were at stake, and the Macedonians of this chapter could have gotten on the telephone, you think it would have just been words? Now, I repeat, I do not want anyone to give everything away. I do not want the tithe to be seen as anything other than a ceiling to limit your giving, lest you give too much. But there come times of crises. And Friday night was one, and we haven't had one for a long time like that. When the knee-jerk reaction of those that have the Spirit gripping their innards would have been to find a piggy bank somewhere and empty something out of it instead of words. We have as much a danger as any other church that in the teaching on faith and grace, we learn how to articulate it in order to escape acting it.
You're still on target, friend.
Well, I'm so tired of this. Well, I have an idea that if I were a fig tree, I'd get tired of figs too. Leaves are more fun. They catch the light. They flicker and they dangle and they play little musical sounds in the wind. Fig trees root me. Fruit's heavy. Leaves are light. These old limbs have carried the weight of fruit too long. Plus the fact people are grabbing at you when you've got fruit. Staffy pulling contest. St. Taffy's. Thankless people come around, yank on the fruit. Leave, they leave us alone to do our thing. You're a very intelligent group. I'm sure through the centuries, Peter and the other favored disciples wish they could take back the Mount of Transfiguration, opportunity missed. I'm sure the disciples who slept the night of the crucifixion wish they could take it back, opportunity missed. How many times have I told you God still creates those opportunities? Our nature and our calling has kept us on the front line of crises as a spiritual commando team. And I fear that some of you are getting weary with well-doing, and you've decided you're going to try a season with just leaves and no weight of fruit. My warning to you is that fig tree has stood there and gotten away with his rippling leaves and no fruit for only God knows how long. But there came a moment when Jesus passed by and needed that fruit. And there was never another chance for that fig tree. I have no truck with tradition to make void the Word of God. But never mistake this pastor's respect for God's Word. You've been called and I've been called to make a statement about the genuine worth of God's Word and the crosshairs of God's view, His scope along you. Now don't mess it up this week. And it's offering time. Come on, usher.